Hi, and welcome to Faith Points, a weekly podcast from Faith Point United Methodist Church. If you'd like to join us for worship on Sunday morning, or just want some more info, visit us on the web at faithpointum.org, or you can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/faithpointum, or you can find us on Facebook. And now, a weekly message from Pastor Chris Bishop.
Will you pray with me? God, thank you again for this time together, this time to come together and to worship you and to praise you and to lift you up because, God, you are good. God, we know as each of us comes into this place, we come with different things on our heart. We carry different weights, each one of us. Some of us struggling with the loss of family. Some of us struggling with a difficult diagnosis or an unknown diagnosis, God, that doctors are still trying to figure out. Some of us dealing with pain and hardship at work, God. So God, as we come together, we lift each other up and we bring these things to you. We leave them at this cross that we have up front, God, because we know that you are a God who answers prayers and that none of our concerns are bigger than you. So God, we bring them to you. We thank you for those of us that are experiencing the joy of life, that have just returned or are currently on a restful vacation. God, all of the ways that you bless us, we thank you for. And we put those at the cross too. And we thank you that in all circumstances, we can look to you and be thankful, even when it's hard, and especially when it's good. So God, we thank you. We give all of the stuff we bring with us this morning to you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
The scripture today comes from The Message, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. The Word was first, the Word present to God. God present to the Word. The Word was God. In readiness for God from day one. Everything was created through him. Nothing, not one thing, came into being without him. What came into existence was life. And the life was light to live by. The life light blazed out of the darkness. The darkness couldn't put it out. The Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. The life light blazed out of the darkness, and the darkness could not overcome it. Keep that with you, because that's going to be important later. It's kind of important all the time, but I just want to welcome you again to Faith Point this morning. I'm so glad that you are here. I'm so excited to see who God brings when things are a little bit different here at Faith Point and just to see what God's going to do. So I am genuinely excited that you are here this morning. Over the last several weeks, actually for about a month and a half, this is week 6, we have been going through the entire story of the Bible. Long story short, maybe a little bit of a misnomer. We've been at this for a while, but it is a long story and a good one. We started in Genesis with the creation of humanity, with the story of Adam and Eve, the fall, and we see in this part of God's personality, God's desire to protect us and to shepherd us even when we make mistakes. And we're going to see that just over and over again throughout Scripture as we move. Next, we moved on to the story of Exodus, where the Hebrew people are leaving enslavement in Egypt and moving out to the Promised Land. We see God's desire for our freedom and our unwillingness to sometimes let go of our past. As the Israelites wanted to go back to Egypt, it was too hard wandering in the wilderness. Then we talked about covenant and kingdom, and as the Hebrew people are settling, their desire for a human king, and God saying, "You really think that's a great idea? Have you seen how these other kings are doing it?" And the people insist, and God says, "Okay." And we see God's promise to his people and our insistence that we do it our own way. We hear warnings from the prophets, these people that God raised up to warn the Hebrew people of what was coming if they didn't turn around and come back to God and start listening. And we have people like that in our own lives. I hope that you do. Someone who will give you a little slap across the face when you need it and say, hey, consider this a warning. And then last week, we talk about the Hebrews' return from exile, back to home, and Nehemiah rebuilding the temple. We see that even when things are broken and destroyed, that there's a remnant that God keeps and is able to nourish and allow to grow. That we can find a place where our heart can rest even in the midst of the holy work that needs to be done. Which brings us to today, Christmas. Every single day is Christmas Day. That is the most exciting thing about this story. Chris said, I need you to preach one Sunday while I'm on vacation. And I said, okay, what's the top? Where are we at in the story? And he was like, well, it's Jesus. And I was like, hooray! I get to talk about Jesus. This is the best part of the story. It's the most exciting part. This Christmas isn't about the stuff. You know, the presents are fun, getting together with family for dinner. That's all great. But it's not about that, really. It's about our hearts. It's about what Jesus came to do. That's why it's exciting. God chose this teenage girl from nowhere to do the most important job in history. Everyone was included in this story. Everyone. We see shepherds and wise men. We see the rich and the poor. The shepherds of this day, they were like the outcasts of society. They lived with sheep. They smelled bad. Nobody really wanted to hang out with them. But God invited them specifically by sending a host of angels to invite them to be a part of this story. Everyone was included. I should point out the wise men likely weren't Jewish either. They came from the east, as far as the story tells us. So this isn't even just for us, you know, good Christians and Jews to be a part of this story. Everyone was included in this story. And then we fast forward a bit. We don't know a lot about Jesus' teenage years, adolescence. I can assume it was probably a lot like many of ours. Maybe that's why they didn't write it down. I don't know. But then we move into Jesus' time in ministry. And the way he operates is so incredible. He sits down and he eats with sinners. He goes to the people that the church of his time said, these people are, they don't get it. They're not doing it right. Jesus goes to those people and says, let's have dinner. Let's have a meal. He repeatedly criticizes the religious establishment of his day, the church of his day. Over and over again, he says, come on, this is not what this is about. He preached a consistent message of love, service, and humility. I want to read from you Matthew chapter 5. This is a section known as the Beatitudes. It's from one of the most famous sermons ever, the Sermon on the Mount. And this is Jesus speaking, and he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We see Jesus laying out some rules for us to live by, and they look very different for sure from the rules that his church had set up in the day. The Jewish church had hundreds of rules to live by that were very specific in order to stay clean in the eyes of God and of the community. I want to read from you. This is a book that I often read to Elliot, and we were reading it yesterday, and something jumped out at me in this story. This book is called Be the Change, and it's written by Aaron Gandhi, who was Mahatma Gandhi's grandson. Pretty sure he still is. This is a story about Aaron when he was a child and learning about the ashram rules that they lived by at Gandhi's service village. And one of the vows that they take is a vow not to waste. And Aaron struggles with this because he doesn't understand how being wasteful it hurts anybody else. He doesn't get it. It's hard. It's a tough concept. So he has this pencil that's tiny. It's worn down to a nub, but it still has lead in it. And he is tired of using this tiny little pencil, so he chucks it out into the grass on his way back home one day. And where I'm going to pick up here is when he asks his grandfather for another pencil. That evening, I asked Bapuji for a new pencil. This morning, you had what appeared to be a perfectly good pencil, grandfather said. It was too small. I threw it away, I argued. I didn't share what I was really thinking. I was a Gandhi. Didn't I deserve a new pencil? It was not too small this morning, grandfather smiled, his toothless grin. And what of your vow? The one not to waste. I stared at my sandaled feet. A vow is a promise to yourself before it is one to others. Why is a nubby pencil so important, I asked. This is the part I want you to listen to. It's not the pencil, but you that is important. And he goes on to talk more about that. But I think a lot of the time we get so hung up on the rules and following or not following those rules that we forget what they're for. They're for us. They're for the people. So when we start using rules to exclude people and push people out, suddenly that rule becomes way more important than the person. And this is what Jesus railed against during his time in ministry. And at the end of all that, he gives everything for God's people. He takes on the sin of the world, past, present, and future, making it possible for us to be in relationship with God. Because the sin that he takes on is our unwillingness to love. That's what separates us. That's what sin is. It's not breaking a specific rule necessarily. It's when we fail to love each other and God. Even as he was dying, he reached out to those who deserved punishment, the thief on the cross next to him, and didn't condemn him. Jesus' crucifixion is the ultimate act of restoration for all people, not just those of us that are sitting in church on Sunday morning. And it ends in victory, not in monetary success, not in political power, not even in personal power, but in the redemption of others. The power of Jesus' death and resurrection on the cross isn't that he accomplished some world-changing movement, which he did. We're still sitting here. But it's that it's possible for us to be in relationship with God through the sacrifice of Jesus. This is something different. This is something new, even 2,000 years later. And those of you who have ever been in small group with me know I have a problem with the whole 2,000 years later thing. Because ever since I was a kid, it's always been 2,000 years. It should at least be 2,038 years by now. The life of Jesus shows us how to love. It is a roadmap for the way we are to operate in community with one another. If we're going to claim that Jesus is our Savior, we have to be different. When the church says that certain brothers and sisters aren't welcome because they love the wrong person, we have to stand up and say no. When our government abuses children trying to enter this country illegally, we have to stand up and say no. When we're told that acts of gun violence are unpreventable and that those lives are the cost of our freedoms, we have to stand up and say no. When someone says that a person is dangerous and should be feared because of the color of their skin or the country they are from, we have to stand up and say no. And for those of you that are concerned that I'm getting a little political right now, God does not care about politics. He doesn't care about Democrats or Republicans or independents. He doesn't care really about America. He cares about people, the people in those places, the people in those parties. So if all you hear is politics when you hear those things, I beg you to take a step back and look past the issue or the policy to the people that are being affected. Jesus gives us the golden rule. Love God and love your neighbor. That's it. That's all. So what do? We take time to listen to people we don't agree with. And you might not change your mind, but you might be surprised by their humanity. We give recklessly of our money, time, and talents in support of kingdom-building work. We give until it hurts. We listen to the voices of people that don't look like us and amplify the ones who are speaking truth in love. And we forgive those who have wronged us and search our hearts for ways to love our enemies. This is the good news of Jesus. It's not our responsibility to change the hearts and minds of others. That's God's job. Our responsibility is to love the outsider, the thief, the adulterer, the tax collector, the foreigner, the sick, the poor, the wounded, the lonely, and the lost. To love is a sacred responsibility, and a life of love is the one Jesus calls us to. There's a Mumford & Sons song that we do sometimes here at church called Not With Haste. And in the end of that song, the lyric goes, I will love with urgency, but not with haste. It's important that we get on this, that we love everyone as best we can, but to not rush through that love, to be with people where they are. Our world is in desperate need of people who love like Jesus loves. And when we fail, there is grace. When we fall, we can stand back up with the encouragement of our brothers and sisters here in this place. That's why we're here. It's one of the reasons. And no matter what, we seek love in all circumstances because love always wins. Will you pray with me? God, I thank you that you created us as a people who are built to love each other, who are called to be a light in this world when so much seems dark and broken. God, I pray that you would use us to be your light that blazes out in the darkness. Because we know that when we do that in your name, the darkness cannot overcome it. I pray that you would energize us to be your light and your love in this place as we go out today. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.